Welcome to the National All Vocational Rehabilitation Conference Call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Robert Pass. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on this all-VR call. We're glad that you could join us. We appreciate the services you provide to our beneficiaries, and we have some good news to share with you and some updates. So without further ado, I will go ahead and jump on in. Follow up with some a message that was sent in regards to the reorganization of the component here at SSA. We are still the Office of Research, Demonstration, and Employment Support. Effective October 1st, we consolidated components, and so what had been the Office of Beneficiary Outreach and Employment Support and the Office of Ticket Operations and Provider Support merged together into one new division. And this division is now known as the Office of Employment Support. I am now the director of the Office of Employment Support. I moved from my position as the Deputy Associate Commissioner into this role for benefits of understanding how that works. You had previously worked with OTOPS, as we referred to it, and now you will work with OES. Regina Bowden has stepped out of her role as the office director, and she is a senior advisor to us, so we get her expertise across the ticket program and not just in relation to VR-related issues. And Nate Arnold will operate under this component as well, and he'll serve on our policy and innovation team. And let me just walk through briefly the new teams that we have aligned under this component. First, we have our VR payments team. Janelle Bratcher will serve as the team leader for this component, and that will be everything that will impact your organization in relation to questions and inquiries regarding VR cost reimbursement issues. So the question becomes, how does this reorganization impact you and your agency? And the answer for us is we want this to be as seamless as possible. So all of your touch points for all of your issues and all of your contacts and the fantastic folks that we have on our team who have worked with you historically will continue to do so. My job is to get out of their way and not obstruct. So relative to that, your contacts for your issues that you have, for the issues that you've worked with our team in the past will continue to remain as they are. So in addition to the VR payments team, we have two additional teams. We have our policy and innovation team, and that is led by Patrice McLean. She's also serving as my deputy director, and she's sitting here next to me today. I think this is your first VR call, so monumental occasion today. And we also have our contracts and grants team, and that will be led by Kara Kaplan, and those are for issues such as our WIPA and PABS and ticket program manager and so forth. So that's a summary of the reorganization. Susan Wilski, who was my peer deputy associate commissioner for the research and demonstration aspects of ORDES, will now slide over and also assume the responsibilities as deputy associate commissioner for ticket to work and employment support services related issues. So her portfolio has gotten much bigger. My portfolio has changed, and I'm more directly involved in the day-to-day operations of the component. And I'm looking forward to this opportunity and excited about the new opportunities that this presents to us. But this initiative to reorganize is agency-wide, so there will be more components reorganizing down the road, and this is also in lines with OMB mandate for government to streamline structure and increase efficiencies across the board. So our leadership remains as is, with Kate Bent as our associate commissioner. Mark Wachowski is the deputy commissioner for retirement and disability policy. So that's just an update. I wanted to walk through that briefly, and I'll transition over to an update in regards to some systems issues that I wanted to share with you. So I want to take a minute to let you know that we have not forgotten about the systems issues that are affecting your agencies and the beneficiaries that you serve. We're working with our systems team to correct two major systems issues in the near future. The first issue is our system is incorrectly terminating tickets based on routine actions taken by the field office. If you believe a ticket has been terminated incorrectly, you can contact our VR help desk and we will research the issue. If the termination was incorrect, we will restore the ticket. The second issue is that our system is allowing ticket assignments when the beneficiary is not in current pay. We realize this affects the claims you submit for reimbursement, and we're working to get this corrected as soon as possible. We thank you for your continued patience. And so now I'm going to transition into an introduction for Susan O'Mara. She's going to talk about some fantastic training opportunities that are forthcoming and that we'd like to share with you. Susan O'Mara is a faculty member in the Department of Special Education and Disability Policy in the Virginia Commonwealth University School of Education. She currently serves as the director of VCU's Work Incentives Planning and Assistance National Training and Data Center, as well as the site director for the Promoting Opportunities Demonstration. Susan also coordinates Work Incentives Counseling Training and Technical Assistance for Social Security's Supported Employment Demonstration Project. So without further ado, I will turn it over to Susan O'Mara. Susan?
Yes. Hi. Thanks, Rob. Thanks for the introduction. And hi, everyone. It's great to be with you on the call this afternoon and have the opportunity to share some information with you about the training opportunities that Rob was alluding to through the National Training and Data Center. And we're going to, for the PowerPoint, we're going to go ahead and start on slide two. So as I'm sure most of you are aware, the Work Incentives Planning Assistance, or WIPA program, was established as a component of the Ticket to Work and Work Incentives Improvement Act of 1999. And it was under Section 121 of that act that Social Security was required to establish a community-based program of work incentive counseling programs. Services to beneficiaries in that program started in 2000, so they've been in operation for a while now. And we currently have 82 WIPA projects that are located across the country. And these projects deliver services to beneficiaries in all 50 states, Washington, D.C., and five territories. The work incentive counseling services that are delivered through these agencies are delivered by community work incentive coordinators, or CWICs. I'm sure that most of you are familiar with the WIPA and CWIC program. I just wanted to be sure since we're going to be referring to them throughout. And we currently have 400 CWICs across these 82 projects delivering services to beneficiaries. So if we could look at slide three. So like the Ticket to Work program, the WIPA program is a key component of Social Security strategy to promote employment for disability beneficiaries and ultimately reduce some dependence on benefits. The purpose of WIPA is to provide individualized work incentive counseling services to beneficiaries to ensure that they have full information that they need to make informed choices and help them to succeed in their efforts to return to work. The WIPA projects on an annual basis serve about 35,000 beneficiaries. And services that are provided by WIPA are prioritized for those beneficiaries who are already working or preparing to go to work. If you can move on to the next slide, slide four. So the VCU National Training and Data Center, we've been involved in delivering training and technical support to the WIP project since the program began in 2000. So we've been doing this for a few years now. And for the last 11 years, our team has been responsible for supporting the WIPA projects in all of the states and territories. And in addition to that, our team provides training and certification and support to the Ticket to Work Helpline, CSRs, particularly kind of focused on their role in providing work incentives information to beneficiaries and making referrals to the WIPA project. So there's that connection between the Ticket to Work Call Center and the WIPA programs. Initially, the NTDC contract, we were focused primarily or solely on providing training, certification, and technical support for the WIPA CWICs. But, you know, a few years in, recognizing that there were a lot of states out there and agencies that were working to develop additional work incentive counseling services and also seeing the need to build capacity beyond the WIPAs, Social Security later decided to make the training and certification we provide the WIPA projects also available to staff of community partner agencies. So the focus, again, was solely on training and certifying professionals whose job is to deliver work incentive counseling services. So in 2007, VCU began training and certifying and providing technical support to not only the WIPA projects, but to community partner work incentive counselors, including counselors that worked for a variety of agencies and state BR agencies and employment networks. Most recently in 2016, Social Security added a new alternative training option, and this is also referenced on the slide here, and this is the introductory web course. And this training is for professionals who are not necessarily delivering work incentive counseling services, but they are a part of the employment team for beneficiaries. And as a part of that team, need a basic understanding of the benefit programs and work incentives. So now we've got these two options that are listed on the slide here for individuals who are going to be actually as part of their job delivering work incentive counseling services. We have the CWIC and community partner initial training and certification. And then for other professionals, we have the introductory web course. So we're going to take some time to talk about each of these in turn. If we can move on to slide five, please. So first we'll look at the CWIC and community partner initial training and certification. I think the most important thing to keep in mind here is that this is a very intensive year-long training and certification process meant to prepare individuals to deliver work incentive counseling services to beneficiaries. This training and certification was actually developed and is required for WIPA CWICs, so they have to go through this training program and be certified in order to provide services to beneficiaries. Beyond that, it's only available to partners, community partner staff, who are going to be performing CWIC-like work as a part of their job, a regular part of their job. So it's intended for those individuals who are going to deliver work incentive counseling. This would include any age staff with y'all's agencies who might be working as work incentive counselors or benefit counselors. And it can also include counselors that your agency may fund under a fee-for-service agreement to deliver these services. So there are multiple components to this training and certification. And to be approved for a space in the training, an individual and their agency has to commit to completing all of these various components. And this includes a two-part certification process that involves completing and submitting casework that's developed for actual disability beneficiaries that they're working with. If we could move to slide six, we'll look at the components here. And there are four key components. The first is that each person who's approved to participate has to attend a pre-training conference call. And this is just a call we hold before the week of the initial training that provides information to help prepare individuals for the class, what to expect, help them get a kind of a lead, linking them to the online national curriculum so they can start looking at the information. And we also use this time to kind of orient them to the certification process. We use the Blackboard Learning System to host our assessment processes online. And some individuals are not as familiar with that, so we do a walkthrough of that process on this pre-training call. And that was something the pre-training call we added after we initially started training, because we found so many people were coming to the training very concerned about certification. So we spend some time up front trying to kind of orient them and calm their nerves a bit. The second component here is required attendance at the initial training class. And there are really no exceptions to this at all. It's a 5-day face-to-face training facilitated by 2 VCU team members, our lead trainer being Connie Farrell. All participants have to attend all 5 days of this training. And the training is based on a very extensive Social Security approved national curriculum. And the curriculum covers not only the technical information on the disability programs and work incentives, but it also covers the practical aspects of how to do the job of a CWIC or a work incentive counselor. Components 3 and 4 that are listed here are the 2-part certification process. Part 1 of the process actually takes place as soon as folks get back from the training class. It takes place over a 6-week period, and it consists of a series of exams and practical assignments. Then, again, these are all completed online in the Blackboard Learning System. And this entire Part 1 process takes approximately 45 hours to complete over the 6-week period. So it's pretty intensive, and participants do have access to technical assistance from our VCU team throughout that process, both in terms of accessing the assessments in Blackboard, the technical side of it, as well as assistance from our technical assistance liaisons on the content. Part 2 of this certification process is a process that actually takes it to the next level in terms of testing the ability of the participants to take the information that they learned in class and the skills that they've learned, and then apply them in working with actual beneficiaries. So it's actual casework they're doing. And over a 1-year period of time, they would have to submit a benefit summary and analysis report that they developed for 3 different disability beneficiaries. And I know there are a number of WIPA projects that are based in state VR agencies, so I'm sure I have some of you on the line here who are very familiar with this process. If we could go on to the next slide, slide 7. So what I gave you was a very, very brief overview of the process, the training and certification process for the CWICs and community partner counselors. But I did include some links here on this slide in case you are interested in going to our NTDC website for some additional detail. There's a link here that provides additional information on the training class. We have the agenda for that class posted there as well. We have the certification and requirements process page, and we have some detailed instruction documents that kind of go over the whole process for you. And then I also have a link here to the initial training calendar. And you should check that out, and it gives you a whole list of the trainings that we have scheduled. So if we could move on to the next slide, slide 8, please. Okay, so in terms of accessing the initial training and certification, I first wanted to let everyone know that beginning with this current contract year, Social Security has increased the number of initial training classes that we'll be offering, which is really great news. I'm sure some of you may be sitting out there thinking, well, we have counselors that have wanted to attend, but they haven't been able to get in. And so we actually are seeing a big jump in the number of classes that we're offering this year from the past 2 years. We'll be conducting a total of 12 classes this year, and also the number of people that will be attending has increased up to 30 in each class. So basically, if you go online and look at the calendar with that link I provided there, you're going to see that we have essentially 1 training class per month, and that link also provides you with some information there about registering. Okay, so in addition to offering more classes, the other thing is that Social Security has asked us to place a greater emphasis on working with community partners in the training class with a larger number of spaces available, and the priority for these being with employment networks and state VR staff. On the next slide, slide 9, please, I went ahead and listed kind of a condensed version of the priorities, and these are priorities for this training that are set by Social Security. And so what you'll see is that WIPA project staff come first, And they will always have the highest priority on the training, again, and certifications required for them. And this is followed by community partner staff in three different groups. And within this group, you'll see that priority number one includes staff or managers of organizations or agencies who are ENs, state VR agencies, Medicaid agencies, and American Job Centers. So that means that after all WIPA project staff have been accommodated and have a space in the training, staff of your VR agencies are next in line for available spaces, along with the others in that group if they're in priority one. So, you know, hopefully with the increased number of sessions and participants in each class this year, we're going to be in a much better position to accommodate your staff for these particular trainings. If you can move to slide 10, please. And this slide talks about the registration process. I just wanted to include a couple of pointers on this process, just to some of the things where we've seen people haven't necessarily, you know, entered correct information or selected a wrong category when they were registering. So, if you have colleagues or yourself are planning to attend, always remember to register early. If you go to that online training calendar, we actually provide a date for each class that tells you exactly when registration is going to open for that class. So if you just kind of put that on your calendar, we'll open registration that morning and you'll be able to go in and register. So we do use registration date within those priority groups, whoever, you know, comes in first. So keep that in mind and try to have folks register early for the session as soon as it opens. Also make sure that that your staff are selecting state VR agency staff on the registration page. We have a question where we ask for a type of community partner, and you want to make sure that they're noting that they're state VR agency, because that will, we'll use that to basically prioritize at the end of the process. We are able to accommodate, as I said, 30 participants in a class, and on average, we have about 75 registrants for each class. So we can't have everybody in the class. Once registration closes, we prepare the list of registrants by priority, and we send them to Social Security, to our contract officer. And they kind of review that and ask any additional questions they may have about registrants, and then they make the final decisions about who is accepted to participate in that particular training. And they'll communicate to that to us, our team, and we'll move forward with sending out notifications to folks. So I just wanted to make sure you were aware of that whole process and how that works. And finally, in terms of the cost, there is no registration fee for those who are approved to attend. However, you do have to, and anybody from your agency that is coming and participating has to cover their own travel expenses, including lodging and meals. If we could move on to slide 11. Okay, there are just a couple of important points about the community partner certification. First, VR staff, I just wanted to make sure everyone is clear, because there's some confusion sometimes. When a VR staff person or any other community partner is certified, they actually are certified as a community partner work incentive counselor, and that's the term that will show up on the certificate that they receive. And it's only staff of WIPA projects who are certified as CWICs, so the CWIC term is kind of held aside for the WIPA projects, and the certification is as a community partner work incentive counselor. It does have it's the same training and certification process that they go through, and it will have the Social Security seal, the same type of certificate that they'll receive. And the second bullet is really the great news, because as a certified community partner work incentive counselor, the individual has access to ongoing training and technical support from our team. And so they'll actually have a designated VCU technical assistance liaison for as long as they maintain their certification. And this individual, they can, contact on a, regular basis as often as they'd like with questions and requests for assistance. And we can also help in reviewing benefit summary analysis reports and those types of things. And then the final bullet is on continuing certification. And some of you may be familiar with the initial certification, but we also now have a continuing certification requirement. And this was instituted by Social Security in July 2016 for both WIPAs and community partners. So it's no longer you're certified and there's no end date to that initial certification. When a person becomes certified, the very next year, beginning on July 1, they begin participating in the continuing certification process. And community partners who are in that process have to complete 18 credits of VCU supplemental training to maintain their certification status. And so once they, you know, we track the completion of that, it's all automated, and at the end of that, you know, assuming they've completed all the requirements for that, they'll receive a new certificate each year indicating that they continue to be certified. Okay, so that kind of wraps up the just kind of that overview of that initial training and certification process for CWICs and work incentive counselors. And on slide 12, what I'd like to do is kind of switch gears for a minute and just talk briefly about our new introductory web course, which we're very excited about. The full title for this course is Introduction to Social Security Disability Benefits, Work Incentives, and Employment Support Programs, which is why we like to fondly refer to it as the introductory web course. But in case you see the big name, that's what it is. After how this came about, after several years, when we first started including community partners in the initial training and certification process, after doing it for a number of years, it kind of became clear. We were seeing a pattern here where we had a large number of people come into the training because they needed information on the disability programs and work incentives. But frequently when they would get to the training, they were a little overwhelmed by both the amount and depth of the materials. Many of the individuals that were registering for that, the CWIC and community partner training and certification, are not or were not individuals who were, you know, planning to or working as work incentive counselors. And they didn't really necessarily need or want the certification, but they were attending the CWIC training as it was the only option available at the time. So recognizing the trends here and the fact that we were, you know, we had a whole other group of people who needed information but at a different level, the introductory web course was developed. This was added to our contract this last round of funding, and it was just last year that we got it out there and available to individuals. So this is a two-week online course, and it provides basic information on the Social Security Disability Programs, SSI and SSDI, and their work incentives, as well as kind of an overview of work incentive counseling in general and some little more detailed specific information on the WIPA program. If we can move to slide 13. And the target audience for this course includes, among other groups, community partners who are engaged in return to work services for with beneficiaries, as well as other disability professionals who may be working with beneficiaries and in a position to encourage them to work and pursue financial stability. So it's and that's a lot of people around the country here who are in these types of roles where they're helping people with work or thinking about work or providing you know, residential case management types of services. All of these individuals touch beneficiaries and could really help by being able to share this type of information. The course was definitely developed with state vocational rehab counselors and EN staff in mind, and may even be something that your agency may want to consider as a regular part of counselor training, possibly even as a part of your new counselor training program. If we could look at slide 14, please. So the two-week course actually contains six different lessons, and each lesson has a one-hour video lecture and some supplemental trainings, some supplemental readings and resources available. It is a VCU instructor-led course, so we have an instructor for each class each time we offer it. And while it's largely self-directed, there's a lot of flexibility in completing those modules, the six different lessons. There's somebody that you can reach out to. We have a discussion board People can reach out to the instructor directly or use the discussion board for posting questions and sharing information. In terms of the content of the lessons, lesson one kind of really gets to add a foundation for understanding the problem of unemployment and poverty for disability beneficiaries. And it introduces the concept of financial stability and why work is so important. And it also provides an introduction to the WIPA programs and services. Lessons two and three really kind of look at the basics of the Social Security Disability Insurance Program, as well as its work incentives. And this is continued on slide 15. Lessons four and five address the SSI program and work. And then lesson six focuses on how the individuals who are taking the course can work collaboratively with the WIPAs and the others on the employment support team and really provide the same positive message about work and benefits to beneficiary and really helping the beneficiaries to take the next step towards employment. On slide 16, I did just want to point out that this is a Social Security approved course. We develop and submit for review before kind of building the course, and all the updates are approved through Social Security as well. We're currently offering it 8 times each year. I've included a link here to the calendar on our site. And just so you know, the next class begins on November 5th if you have some free time on your hands. Registration is currently open for this class. It does close at the end of this week, so if you think you might be interested or others, it would be great to get the word out. But we have other sessions that are coming up pretty quickly, too. And then finally, on slide 17, I just wanted to share some figures with you from last year in terms of participants in the introductory web course. It was our very first year of running the course. And so we're really still kind of in the beginning stages of this, and we really want to work hard to get more people in the door participating in the course. It's a great course. We're very proud of it. We think you'll like it. I think it'll be beneficial for your staff. Last year, we just had about 20% of our participants from VR agencies, and we'd like to significantly increase that participation this year. So we really do hope you'll consider registering. Also sharing this information with your colleagues or whoever may be in charge of running the training programs within your VR agency, if there's another person who does that. All of these things would be great. If you've participated, we'd also like some feedback. So don't ever hesitate. I have my contact information on the last slide. Feedback both on the initial training as well as the introductory web course. And any suggestions y'all might have for improving the course. So we're looking forward to having more of you in the course going forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Susan. We really appreciate you taking the time to share with us these training opportunities. David, we'll be opening up the line for questions for Susan. And while we do that, I did want to indicate that we didn't see much chatter on the chat. So in case you weren't sure how to do that, there should be a blue conversation bubble towards the bottom left somewhere on your screen. You want to click on that. It should open up the chat for you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question over the phone, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. We'll pause for a moment. And we do have a question. We'll take our first question from Donna Osborne with Office of Vocational Rehabilitation.
Hi, Susan. I was just wondering approximately how much staff time would be in the introductory course, and do you have CRC credits for it?
Yes, we do offer CRC, I believe. You know what, I'm going to go ahead and send something back out. Are we able to send information once I confirm this to the group? I'm hoping so.
Yeah,
we'll make sure.
You can communicate any information with me, and
okay.
We'll get it out to the group.
Okay.
I'm almost certain, but, you know, as soon as that started to come out of my mouth, I thought, I'm going to check with Julie because I don't want to mislead people. But let me check on that in May, because I know we offer them for almost all of our courses, just as standard practice. But this is newer, so just let me double check and make sure Julie Shaw, if you're familiar with our training, runs everything for us. And so I'll check with Julie and follow up with you. And, you know, it's an hour recorded video recording. Lucy Miller is our trainer in the introductory course. So, you know, at a minimum, it takes an hour to go through each of those lessons. But then you've got some additional supplemental reading. We have received comments back where people are a little overwhelmed with the supplemental reading, but they're really put there. A lot of them are Social Security publications and then things from our website, but they're put there in case people want to download them as a resource. They don't all have to be gone through, every one of them. So if you're just kind of doing the bare minimum, you know, we have the course, and then there are some knowledge checks, but they're very simple, three kind of question, multiple choice things in each lesson types of things. They're a crossword puzzle, and they're all automated, and you just have to complete those. It's not a competency-based course, so when you finish, you get a certificate of completion. So there's not a lot of time spent in doing any kind of testing. It's just a basic knowledge check. And so, you know, essentially, if you're not participating in the discussion board or asking a lot of questions and you're just doing the lecture itself, you could probably do that in 8 hours, you know, with listening to it and kind of reviewing the materials and downloading resources that you'd like to keep with you.
Great. Thanks.
And as a reminder, star one if you would like to ask a question. Once again, star one. We'll pause for a moment. And we do have another question. Next, we'll go to Sharon Pilkington with Idaho Division of Vocational Rehabilitation.
Hi. My question is regarding the face-to-face training. How is it different than the online training offered by another agency?
I'm not sure which other training you're referring to.
I think it's Cornell.
I can really only speak to the VCU training. The VCU training is really focused on not just the content of the disability benefit programs and the work incentives and health care, but and other federal support programs, but it also addresses how to do the job of a CWIC. So it's very targeted towards doing the CWIC model of work incentive counseling. And we go through the whole process of not taking the information you learn and how you apply that in delivering the services to beneficiaries. And then, again, we have that two-part certification process. It is the only training Social Security kind of authorized, funded, and vetted training program.
Susan,
I'm not sure if that answered your question. I'm sorry.
Yes, thank you.
Susan, hi, this is Rob. Just a quick follow-up question. You had mentioned that registration is free. I also want to clarify that that means that the registration and the training program is free. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. No, I just want to clarify
You're
that.
You're too funny. Yes, you can register for free, and then if you get approved to attend, you can attend the training. And the whole certification, all of the support you receive through that training and certification process, there's no charge for any of that to a part at all. Absolutely.
Hi, David. Are there any more questions in the queue? We could probably take one more and we'll go on with the agenda.
We do have a question that just popped in. We'll take a question from Brian Connors with California Department of Rehabilitation.
Yeah, hi, Susan. Two really quick questions. First of all, is there a class limit on the online training? And let me ask you that question.
I'm sorry, I missed it. Is the class limited in terms of size, registrants?
Yeah, but the online?
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up because I meant to say that. No, we don't. And right now, everybody who's registering, we're approving. Because, again, it's largely self-directed. That's why this is such a great course. I mean, people can get in here, and so, you know, that is something that could be valuable for a number of your staff. And just for instance, I just looked at the registration for this the last couple of classes, and the Iowa VR is just all over it. We have tons of people from Iowa VR in these classes. So, you know, we're not, there's no kind of upper limit at this point in time. We're approving everybody that's registering.
Okay, thanks. That's great. And my second question is, after you complete that course, would the participants have the same access to the supports as those attending the in-person training?
No. There is a distinction there. So those who become certified as a community partner and go through that initial training and full certification process, they will have access to that ongoing technical assistance. Now, with that said, anybody who's participating in the course that has a question can certainly reach out to our instructors and team with questions. It's not quite the same level. They're not participating in ongoing certification and things of that nature. But, you know, we're here as a resource, and you certainly reach out to our team.
Yeah, so, like, they wouldn't have access to archived trainings.
Oh, the archived trainings are actually accessible to everybody now anyway, if you, whether you're certified or not. So they could, they can go online, and we have a whole host of trainings on our, you know, if you go to our training link at the top of the page, I'm not sure if you've taken a look at it, but kind of scout around there. You'll see it, there's archived trainings, and there's a whole host of trainings. Every time we deliver a training live, we then put it, we archive it to the website. And so anyone can take those trainings at any point in time. No cost. You just kind of register. It records it in our system just so we can see who's participating. And then you could take the course, and all the materials are right there posted.
Thank you, Susan.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for the questions. And, of course, Susan, for you helping us out and having a better understanding of the training. What we'll do now is we'll go on with the agenda, and there's probably more questions for Susan. So if you can actually send those questions to the VR Help Desk, we'll get those to Susan and get those answered for you. So going on with the agenda, Candace.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. We have some inquiries on the VR Help Desk about ticket assignment for cost reimbursement. So I wanted to go over a few key reminders for you. The beneficiary does not have to have a ticket to receive cost reimbursement. But if the beneficiary has a ticket, the ticket must be assigned in-use SCR. This was enforced on April 1st, 2012. This change was vital to our efforts to provide the best and seamless services for our beneficiaries by assisting their tickets and protecting them from periodic medical reviews. While seeking achieving a life of financial independence, this is what we have forth going forward. I understand that we have some issues right now with assigning tickets and terminating tickets on the DCF. So if you have any specific questions on cases that you would like to discuss, please contact the VR Help Desk, and I will look into this for you. Anything that we have to deal with special situations with ticket assigned and used is on page 50 of the VR Provider Handbook. Without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Shada Roper to decide on decision notices.
Good afternoon, everyone. Happy last call of the calendar year, but first call of the fiscal year, I guess. So your notices that are coming to you, we're having, as Rob earlier explained, several system issues. However, the notices are supposed to come to you as follows. Once we've made a decision and it is a negative decision or denial, you will receive the notices pretty much immediately. It takes a couple of days in SSA system for us to see it, and then we're still following snail mail, so it prints out and we send it to you. As far as your payment decisions are concerned, you'll probably find the information in the portal first because it follows a 7 to 10 day process for you to be approved, then for it to go to Treasury, then for you to be paid. Once it's paid, that's when the notice goes out, and that also takes a couple days for it to generate in our system, and then we're still following snail mail to get those notices to you. If by chance you're not receiving the notices, or it's a special kind of notice as in adjustment notices, please email me directly, and we will make sure those notices get to you. And I believe that is it on the notices. If you have any other questions about notices, once again, email the help desk or me directly. We will move it on to Raquel.
Thank you, Shada. Good afternoon, everyone. I just have three quick last points before we open it up for question and answers. For second quarter 18 earnings, I know there were a few VR agencies that were holding on to uploading their batches until you heard from me, just to confirm that, yes, we did get our reports in from OCSE, which is the Office of Child Support Enforcement. They dumped the batch, I believe it was yesterday or the 11th of October. So anyone that was holding on to uploading your claims or your batches, you can go ahead and do so. Also with that, I am finding that certain states are not reporting. There's not many that aren't reporting, but I have discovered that there are a few states that just are not reporting their earnings. So that's a conversation that I will be having with management as they stare back at me. And then I will follow up with you on that. But if you have any questions where you're getting denied because of second quarter earnings, feel free to email me at the VR Help Desk, and I will definitely follow up. We'll look into that for you. Secondly, claims. Any claims that you have in your pending list that's 60-plus days after your submittal, please feel free to email me just to find out a status on that. Try not to email before then. As you know, we always work the claims first in, first out. Right now, the analysts and technicians are working on claims from the beginning and middle of September, I believe. Lastly, I know that some VRs are emailing the help desk in regards to when you're trying to upload a claim and you're coming up with a different name or an SSN on the claim. Just want to make it clear to you all that if you're emailing us and it's an issue with the SSN being incorrect, we cannot provide you with a correct SSN. You'll have to follow up with the VR counselor or the beneficiary just to confirm the information that you're receiving, but we can't share a beneficiary's SSN with you if you provide us with the wrong SSN. However, if it's a matter of the SSN is correct and it's a name change issue, they divorced, they're married, they just didn't like their name and changed it, if we see that it's somewhere close, like you may have the first name and then a different last name, that information we will share with you. But as far as the SSN, we're not allowed to share that information. That is it. That's all I have for today. David, we can go ahead and open it up for questions and answers.
Yeah, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, press star 1 if you have a question. We'll pause for a moment. Okay, we do have a question from Scott Brown with the Department of Rehabilitation, California. Mr. Brown, you may be on mute.
Hi, Scott. Are you there?
Hey, I'm here. Thank you very much. I have a question about it wasn't a topic today, and I'm not sure if it could be answered here, but it was about a ZBA account. We've created a zero balance account, and we have a DUNS and EIN number that's registered to SAM. We can't, unfortunately, we can't add additional digits or accounts to change this. If there's somewhere you can direct me to a resolve this. We've been dealing with this for about 3 or 4 months now, trying to get to this new account.
Katie, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Did you hear Scott's question in regards to the DUNS and the four digits after the DUNS? I know in the portal in ITOPS, it only accepts the first 9 digits, correct?
Yeah, our payment system does not send the extra 4 digits to SOARS. I don't know what we can do on our end. I can go back and listen to the emails again.
Okay.
Because I don't know that our system is set up that way.
Okay, Scott, so Katie's
we'll
going
to
go back
to you.
Right, so Scott, did you email the help desk?
Yeah, I did just recently. I think later last week.
Okay.
I can resend it again today with all the information.
No, you don't have to.
Okay.
Just,
I know you guys have been slammed, so. Oh, but I figured just since we were on the call, I could put that question out. I've been contacted by our accounting team asking about this.
Okay. So Katie will look into it, and then we will follow up with you on that.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Yes, we will.
Welcome.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad, and we'll pause for a moment to assemble the queue. As a reminder, it's *1. All right, I am showing we have no further questions.
All right, so
for any additional comments.
I think we're all good here. I want to encourage you to take advantage of the opportunities discussed by Susan in today's call. Share the information throughout your agency and spread the word, because this is a tremendous opportunity to enhance the services that you can provide to your clients. And please keep that in mind, and also access the information through the links provided. And I want to thank Susan for her presentation and cooperation and collaboration with SSA and the terrific work that they do there. Our next all-VR call will be Tuesday, January 8th, 2019. We can discuss how cold it is and how our holidays went, among other things. But I thank you all for calling in, and I sincerely appreciate your participation. Thanks again.
And that does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.